And now a question for some of the world's great thinkers, or as Jay Leno famously put it to actor Hugh Grant after Hugh was caught in flagrante delicto with a prostitute, what were you thinking? Jean-Paul Sartre adopted his mistress. Henry Ward Beecher was the most famous minister in America when he was tried for bedding a parishioner. Camus' marriage ended when he found out his wife was having sex with a doctor in exchange for morphine. And don't get us started on Kierkegaard, Dostoevsky, or Ayn Rand. Author Andrew Schaefer has collected over 36 stories in the new book, Great Philosophers Who Fail at Love. He joins us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you.
And what got you started on this?
A couple of years ago, I created a line of Friedrich Nietzsche Valentine's Day cards that featured some of his most depressing thoughts on love. And they were not only depressing, but they were fairly humorous.
Well, and we should say Friedrich Nietzsche, he who couldn't get anyone to go out on a date until someone apparently did, and he contracted syphilis, which was a horrible illness, especially at that time, and he died kind of out of his mind.
Yeah, a lot of his later works, historians believe, were influenced by his syphilis. Some people have asked me, you know, do you think that the love lives of these philosophers impacted their philosophies? And the answer is, in a lot of cases, yes. You can see a direct correlation there, but in his case especially, if he had not been infected with syphilis, you know, who knows how many years of writing he would have had ahead of him.
Well, and so many of the philosophers that you single out had negative attitudes about marriage in particular. I'm thinking of Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir, a 51-year relationship that ends with them buried side by side outside Paris. But in between, lots of other people in their lives. In fact, sometimes they pursued the same women and then compared notes about them.
Yeah, that's one of those cases where she's this great feminist figure who wrote The Second Sex, and at the same time, she was sort of always under Sartre's thumb. He really controlled their relationship, and there were several indications that she really would have been interested in a traditional marriage with him or with Nelson Algren, who she was also linked to.
Well, you mentioned the American that Beauvoir had the affair with and wanted to marry her. He wrote, "Pimps are more honest than philosophers," which could be sort of your other title.
Exactly. I think that Sartre had her convinced that this was just a completely normal thing. Like a lot of the philosophers, they had their own idea of what utopia would be like. Anywhere from Plato to Marx or Engels, they had the idea that women should be sort of shared by men, and they had these revolutionary ideas about love, and it was very difficult for them to find women that agreed with them.
Well, Dostoevsky in particular had terrible marriages and affairs, very rocky, an affair with a much younger woman he then wrote about in The Gambler. There were moments, every time we ended a conversation, as a matter of fact, when I would have given up half my life to strangle her. I swear that had I the chance to thrust a sharp knife slowly into her bosom, I believe I would have done it with delight. Those are words in Dostoevsky's novel. It's fictional, but you point out it's a thinly veiled reference to this 22-year-old writer he had an affair with.
Yeah, that's right. He couldn't find any satisfaction in his wife or with his mistress. Then his wife got very sick, and it turned out to be one of the most heartbreaking stories. You can pull that out of context like I did there and say that he had very negative, you know, views towards women, but it was part of sort of the overall package of Dostoevsky. He was, you know, very much in love with women, and then at other times he couldn't stand them.
Well, as you just pointed out, he fantasized about killing them, but Louis Althusser actually did kill his wife accidentally?
That's right. He, after several months of being locked up in an apartment together, he woke up one morning to find that he had strangled her. He claimed that he did it either in his sleep or in a fit of madness, and he ended up serving just a couple of years for manslaughter because he was judged clinically insane.
Henry David Thoreau, his words, If common sense had been consulted, how many marriages wouldn't have taken place? And he and his brother, oh, so hapless. They, first of all, fell in love with the same woman, and she turned them both down.
That's a kind of a recurrent theme in the book, not only Thoreau, but Friedrich Nietzsche and several others.
Goethe
as well, who had sought women out. They idealized, you know, one or two women as what they wanted out of a relationship. And if they couldn't get her, that was sort of it for them. That really is what, you know, philosophy, you know, has been about over the years, is trying to get to some ideals of ethics or politics. And so it's no surprise to me that a lot of philosophers had the same kind of ideas about relationships as well.
Well, tell us more about this, why the temperament of a philosopher might make them unsuitable candidates for marriage.
The temperament of a philosopher, I would say, is sort of the temperament of maybe of all writers, which can be very much perfectionists and sort of argumentative. I don't know if I would say it's neurotic, but I think that's also another recurring theme, is overly complicating what should be very simple. I think that a lot of us have problems with love, but there's just something unique about the smartest men and women, or I should say the supposedly smartest men and women, running into trouble with something like this.
Well, and we've left for last Ayn Rand, who dedicated Atlas Shrugged to both her husband and her young lover that her husband was well aware of. But when the young lover took another mistress, she went ballistic and said words to the effect of, "I made you, now I'm breaking you."
Ayn Rand is one of the more interesting philosophers. She wasn't a really traditional philosopher in the sense that she wrote about her philosophy in novels. She created her objectivist school around her philosophy and around her beliefs. And one of the main things about that school was she wasn't letting her emotions or her personal life really interfere with her work. And yet she was at the same time having an affair with the second person in charge, Nathaniel Brandon. So when they ended up having problems between them, she kicked him out of the movement. And that really did affect the direction that her philosophy and her movement took after that.
Hell hath no, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's so much more. Rousseau was a flasher, also was into spanking. But I'm just wondering, you talked about the Nietzsche Valentine's cards line. You do have a greeting card company, Order of St. Nick. Are these going to be appearing on cards?
In fact, they currently do appear on cards.
Oh, fantastic. So you can send someone a card that says, as Nietzsche did, "Ah, woman, they make the highs higher and the lows more frequent."
Right. I think that a lot of the philosophers, they would have been great greeting card writers, I think.
Do you have a personal favorite?
The Socrates quote, "By all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. But if you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher."
That's Andrew Schaefer. His book is Great Philosophers Who Fail at Love. We'll link you to his greeting card company, Order of St. Nick, at hearnow.org. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.